Reading to you from 1 John, the 4th chapter, and with the 13th verse. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Boy, howdy, the weather is so nice here now. We just had a snowstorm last week, a good one. But it's getting nice, and the trees are all budding out. Flowers are starting to come up. Well, we got spring. Now we got work to do, so I want you, if you're a lazy Christian, that you probably won't want to listen to this tonight, but if you really want to serve the Lord, please sit back, kick off your slippers, pour you a glass of iced tea, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Tonight I'm going to read out of three or four scriptures, and tonight we're going to talk about dual citizenship. And I start reading in Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And then in Romans 13:1, "Let every person be in the subjection to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God." Then I read also in Acts 4:19, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God, so give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge." Well, friends, all Christians have dual citizenship. You know, one of my, Mrs. Blue, one of the singers in our quartet, she was born in Africa, and then she moved to Canada, and then she got married. So she has a Canadian citizenship, also Africa, and also in America. So we kid her quite a bit about that. But listen, friends, we who have been born again, of course, have dual citizenship. We are citizens of heaven, traveling through this earth. This is not our home, beloved. We're just passing through. We are citizens of this earth on our way to heaven. Well, listen, this dual citizenship raises three questions. What are our responsibilities as citizens of heaven? What are our responsibilities as citizens of earth? What do we do when these responsibilities clash? Well, let's first of all, what are responsibilities as citizens in heaven? And I read in Philippians 3:20, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, I know a lot of people, I don't know, a lot of Christians, I guess, really don't believe in the second coming of Christ. He's coming back, dear friends. And boy, howdy, it may be sooner than people think. The way things are stacking up over there in Iraq and Iran and all over the world, things are just shaping up. Sin is rampant. Tremendous, I don't know how many murders we had this weekend, but it's a lot. Go by shootings. And see, I speak to those men and those women in prison, and I hear their stories, and I tell them that it's God you have to worry about, not man. Well, how do we become citizens of heaven? Well, that's not too hard to believe. We are born citizens of earth by natural birth. Now, Nicodemus said, ye must be born twice. You have the physical birth. All of us listening to this broadcast tonight have had a physical birth. But you cannot get into heaven by the physical birth. You must be born again, or born twice, born from above. Now, that's God's holy unknown word. You say, well, Cecil, look, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Muslim, or a Catholic. It doesn't make any difference what you belong to. If you don't belong to Jesus, you do not have dual citizenship. We are born into heavenly citizenship, what? Through faith. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Friends, listen to me. Listen to me. Had Jesus not arose from the grave, you and I wouldn't have nothing, absolutely nothing to talk about. Oh, listen, friends. He conquered death. He conquered hell. Why did he do that? Well, first of all, because sin came in the world, but secondly, because he loves you. I know you say, oh, Cecil, I get so tired of you telling me God loves me and I'm going through all these problems and troubles and tribulations. That's right. God still loves you. And friend, listen, if everything is turned against you tonight, before or after this broadcast is over, I want you to kneel. And I want you to say, Lord, I am so discouraged. I'm down in the dumps. My faith is wavering. Lord, would you help me? Oh, he loves to hear that. Yes, he does. You know what a guy told me one time? I don't pray because God has, people have bigger problems than I do, and God can't handle them all. Well, that's where he's crazy. There's not, every problem in the world is under the subjection of our Lord. Everything's going on. He knows what's going on over in Baghdad. How many kids were killed last week? Was it 9 or 12? My heart just breaks. And I pray daily, God, I pray that they'll catch Bin Laden and his lieutenants, and that you'll protect our servicemen and women overseas. They didn't plan on going over there. And then you say, oh, now you're what are you? Well, I'm against the war. I'm glad that we knocked that man off. Saddam was a wicked, evil man. Oh, my, was he wicked. But you see, the problem was, friends, I'm afraid our country didn't sit down and take a cost of what it was going to cost. It's a sad situation, and every American's hearts are broken by it. And I know that people are blaming the president for all these things. I'm sure that he made mistakes because he's not perfect either, and he doesn't walk on water. But there's a lot of things going on that you and I don't understand, but God knows, he understands, and he is going to work it out. God's timetable, his clock is going. He knows exactly when, where, and when Jesus is coming back. He knows when the archangel is going to sound the trump. He knows all those things. So don't worry about it. We shouldn't be worried about that. We are born into a heavenly citizenship through faith. That's what the Bible said. It's exactly what the Bible says. Well, let's see what it says in 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I quoted that already, but that's a fact. Now, the Bible tells us in Paul found out was a new man, found out in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Friends, listen. If that has not happened to you, then you have not been born again. That's right. Now, Nicodemus was not an evil person. He wasn't a drunkard. He wasn't a whoremonger. What he was a lost sinner. And if you don't know Jesus, you are a lost sinner. And I'm not saying that to make you feel bad, but it's the truth. And you cannot be saved until you know you're lost. Well, the Bible says, when he then became an ambassador for Christ in this world, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God was entreating through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's a plea. That's a please come to Christ if you don't know him. And that's what every Christian's job is to reconcile people to God. That is what we're here for. We're not here to get rich. We're not here to be famous. We're just passing through to the other side. But while we're here, we have a job with our dual citizenship, one in heaven and one on earth. Well, we are to live on earth in a manner that causes others to glorify our King. Now listen to this. In Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Oh, friends, listen. If we as Christians lived the kind of lives that the Father wants to live, we could be really influential for Jesus. You know, there's nothing any more disgusting than to see a drunk man stagger out of a bar. Nothing is more disgusting. But if you think you're disgusted, how do you think they feel? That's why God has given me a compassionate heart for the lost, because I was there, for the alcoholic, because I was there. And I know how miserable you can be and are. Oh, my stars. It has been 52 years I've been sober, but you know, I have never forgot what happened to me. And it tells us where to live blameless in order to be lights in a dark world, Philippians 2:15-16, that you may prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. You know, one time my cousin Leon Dixon and Ray Dixon and my sister and I, we were over in Washington. I forget what park it was, but we were all picking huckleberries by the ice caves, and someone said, have you ever been down in an ice cave? I said, no, I've never been down there. And there was a stairway built down into that horrible, cold cave. Well, we had a flashlight, and we were going way, way back in the back. And my cousin dropped the flashlight and broke it in smithereens. There we are in total darkness. Some of those rocks were 200 or 300 pounds. We couldn't see a thing. We were in big, big trouble. And so we just walked along in the dark, and all of a sudden, seemed like it was a mile, but I'm sure it wasn't, we saw a little bitty light about the size of a thimble. And I said, let's go toward the light. And I wasn't even a Christian. And boy, we got there, and here was an opening. And we got out of that cave. But see, we are the light of the world. We're supposed to, Jesus is the light of the world. We're supposed to be blameless so that we can be above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Friends, if you knew everything that went on back in Washington, D.C., your heart would be absolutely broken. I really mean that. Many, 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 many years ago, when I was a director of the rescue mission in Moultrie, Georgia, the businessmen there in Georgia was decided to go to Washington, D.C. to spend 3 days. And I got a call from the head of the Chamber of Commerce, said, Cecil, we'd like to have you go with us. I said, well, what would I want to go up there for? I don't know anybody in Washington. Well, I did too know a couple of senators. Well, I said, we want you to go with us. So they bought me a ticket, and we chartered a big old D.C., and away we go up to Washington, D.C. I truly got my eyes open while I was there. Believe me, I did. I never saw. We went to a big banquet one night, and they had a bar there the size of, I have no idea how big that room was, but they had a bar in there with every kind of liquor that you could ever think, paid for by taxpayers. And when they offered me a drink, I said, yes, I want a 7-Up in the bottle. I didn't want them to think I was drinking booze with them. And there was men there without their wives. They had their secretary. It was pinching. It was a situation that I will never forget. Even the men that claimed to be Christians on that trip got drunk. I was brokenhearted. I truly was. Then the next day we had a prayer breakfast, and Senator, my good friend Sam Nunn, said, we'd happy to have Reverend Moe here from Moultrie. Would you come and ask the blessing? I'll tell you right now, you talk about wanting to preach a prayer, but I didn't. I just asked the Lord to bless our great nation. Friends, listen, I love America. I love our flag. I love the Star Spangled Banner. I gave 4 years of my young life in the Navy, World War II, and I'm glad I did. But I'll tell you right now, my hat comes off to those Marines and those soldiers and those sailors over there. And I'm telling you, friends, they're under a life's death threat every minute of the day and night. Oh, I wish you people understood what they're going through, because they love our country. They sure do. Well, the citizens of heaven should be easily identified on earth because of how we live, but sometimes that's not too good, is it? Well, we are our responsibilities as citizens on earth, and I read in Romans 13:1, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Well, friends, citizens of heaven should be model citizens of earth. We are to be subject to the leaders of the land. We must recognize that government is ordained of God. We must honor those who enforce the law and keep the peace. Friends, I got to tell you something. I'm not proud of this. I'm not at all proud of this. I absolutely did not like policemen. That's when I had a drinking problem. I did not like policemen. And, well, because I always felt guilty. And I knew they were going to try to get me anyway. But it's a terrible feeling. Well, a lot of people don't want to recognize that the government is ordained of God, but it is. It truly, truly is. Well, let me ask you then. We are to pay our taxes. Did you know that? And people don't believe it. People are always trying to beat the government out of tax money. We are to show respect to our leaders. You know what? We don't have to agree with them. No, we don't. We do not have to agree with those people. But we have to show respect for them. And listen, I don't agree with a lot of things that they do in back there, but I pray for them because, boy, they need our prayers. We are also subject to pray for those who have authority over us. And let me tell you, there's a lot of them. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks for our leaders. And boy, you know what I ask people? I never, never, never ask people to tell you how to pray, to vote. I never do that. But I beg of you to vote. I sure do. I beg you, when this election comes up, and I don't always go down the party lines. I try to vote for the man or the woman who's, I think, is going to do the best for our country. Now we listen to all these presidential hopefuls. I'm telling you, some make me so sick I could It makes me sick. Because they're blaming this whole situation right now, Republicans and Democrats, on Bush. Everything that's going wrong is Bush's fault. Why, he even caused the thing down there in, what is the name of that town? One that had that big hurricane. They blamed him for that. Can you believe that? Now, earthly authorities sometimes oppose the work of God, but Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God and not man. Remember, friends, the lame man at the temple was healed. He jumped up and he praised God and he went into the temple. The man who had been lame was now leaping and praising God. This miracle provided opportunities to preach the gospel. Angry leaders demanded Peter and John stop preaching. Did it work? No, it sure didn't. You know why? Because they are not cowards. And I read here in Acts 4:19, but Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God, in the sight of God, to give heed to you rather to God, you be the judge. See, Peter and John, they said, don't you preach no more. Those guys weren't cowards. They had a job. They had a call. You and I have a call. These disciples had been commissioned to tell people of God's love. They explained they were responsible to tell what they knew. They said they must obey God rather than men. Oh, friends, listen. I want to ask you a very personal question. Are you obeying God today? He tells us he wants us to do things. And now when you say, well, you know, I don't know enough about the Bible to be a teacher. Well, you know how we appoint deacons? By the cars they drive, by the clothes they wear, not by how spiritual they are. We've got to start looking to the Bible for authority when we hire or when we appoint deacons. And when we call preachers, you know, Colorado is a metropolis of excitement and fun and skiing and all this. You know what? A bunch of preachers wrote letters. They wanted to come to Colorado to preach pastor churches. You know what the most important question they ask? How far is it to the ski slopes? I kid you not. They didn't ask how spiritual a church was or what the needs were. But I want to ask you this in conclusion. How are you representing Jesus as a citizen of heaven? Are you recognized as a good citizen of earth? Are you committed to obeying God, whatever the cost? Friends, listen, those are some powerful questions. And God has the answer. And I want to ask you, how do you feel about yourself tonight? Taking an inventory, you say, well, Cecil, you know, I haven't done much personal work, and I really got kind of discouraged in the church, and church wasn't doing nothing, so I kind of didn't do nothing. Friends, you don't have to answer for your church. You have to answer to God when you stand before Him, and we will all of us born-again believers will stand before God and give an account for our lives, what we did, what we didn't do, what we gave, what we didn't give, going, telling, and it's all there in the book. He's got it all written down. Oh, I don't even look forward to that, do you? Well, friends, if you don't know Jesus, I beg of you tonight, won't you come to Him? This might be the very last chance you'll ever get to trusting the Lord. And if you feel a tugging at your heart and you'd like to trust Jesus, here's what you have to do. Bow your head to me right now, but oh, don't pray this unless you mean it. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've ever done to you and my family. Tonight, Lord, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that, call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I sure won't write and ask for any money. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I do not solicit money for my ministry. If you can't afford to call, call collect. I'll accept it. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Mole. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, I want you to pray for our health and pray for our ministries and our prison ministries and our quartet, my wife and I, as we go from place to place telling the good news that Jesus saves. Oh, friends, there's nothing more exciting than to introduce a lost man or woman to Jesus. Nothing in this world compares to it. Well, friends, I want you to... This time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.